This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
The NBA is back, and at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, the key to victory is a strong starting five. New customers can bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Top 5 at 5, brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of The Drive. Jake Miller, what you got?
Number one, the Baseballs will be back in front of a local crowd on November 6th for their orange and white game. The game will be held at Smoky Stadium at 1 o'clock, and admission is free.
Love it. Smoky Stadium. Free admission, too. So you can go up there and watch Tony Vitello and the Baseball Vols play. I bet you they'll have a nice little crowd out there for that.
I think they will. Holds quite a few people, too.
Yeah.
What's the weather supposed to be like?
About a week
November
away.
Sick. Probably about like it is now, I'd say. Maybe a little chillier. Colder? Chillier? I don't know. Is that a word?
Chillier.
We'll roll with it.
Yeah. Number two, former New England Patriots safety Patrick Chung was charged Monday with assault and battery against a family member.
Oh, no.
And also charged with vandalism.
Oh, man. Patrick Chung. Say it ain't so.
Set to appear in court today.
Did he beat the hell out?
Against a family member.
Male, female, his brother? I mean,
don't know. It just says a family member.
My brother threatened to call the cops on me one time. I was beating that ass.
It's all every day another piece of the puzzle starts to emerge, and the picture becomes somewhat clearer.
I mean, if you knew my little brother, you'd understand. I mean, he's a putz.
I'd understand why you were beating your brother so badly that the police had to be called?
Well, no, he threatened to call the cops. He didn't actually do it because I stopped beating the hell out of him.
Please continue.
Number three, British heavyweight Dylan White wants his next fight to be against Tyson Fury for the world title instead of rescheduling his canceled bout with Otto Wallen. White last week pulled out of his scheduled fight with Wallen for this Saturday, citing a shoulder injury.
Who is Tyson Fury supposed to fight? I know people want to see Anthony Joshua. There's the guy who beat Anthony Joshua who has one of the belts. I'm a big belt unification guy. I'd like to see him do that and unify the titles. And then he probably just kind of hangs it up, right? I mean, he's 33 years old and kind of beating everybody that's put in front of him.
Don't hurt your brain any more than you have to.
Yeah, get out while you got your marbles intact. Don't end up like Mike Tyson fighting in your 50s. And you see where he's supposed to fight? I'm sorry, I keep interrupting.
Logan Paul?
Yeah, are you going to fight that dude?
So Mike Tyson versus Logan Paul?
Yeah, I may finally get my wish.
You might, but you might also see Mike Tyson get his ass kicked by a dude who's like in his 20s.
I don't know about that.
Mike Tyson's crazy, Russ.
Okay, I mean, I
don't
know.
Whip his ass.
That's
kind of guy you mess around in there, and he might sting Tyson. If Tyson's still, even at 53, 54, whatever he is, you've seen the videos of him sparring. I mean, he literally can kill somebody.
I mean, he's just – I hate seeing guys like that.
Well, I do too, but I would love to see him hit him with a shot like he hit that guy in The Hangover with.
Oh, when he knocked out Allen?
Yeah. You know that was a movie, right?
Yeah, I do. But just to see him just launch one right at that guy's head.
That was...
Just smash it. Maybe his brain come out his ear.
Still got it.
That is one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's a good one.
And number four, Tennessee forward John Fulkerson's first time hearing about his this is the first time he has been selected to the first team All-SEC preseason team. Fulkerson in his, sixth or seventh year now.
And they captured him on video. They told him. It was Tennessee basketball media day today.
Yeah.
So all the media is over there, and players in their uniforms. They're taking pictures and doing interviews and everything.
Well, we also had some Lady Balls make the selection too, first and second team. Senior guard Ray Burrell landed on the first team, and Tamari Key on the second team.
Good, man.
Lady Balls projected to finish third.
Fix that program, man. Like we've been talking about, oh, man, rebuilding, just need a few more. At some point, you got to go out there and be the Lady Balls again.
At some point, you do. And number five, if you were on a hike and you got lost, would you answer any call or text that came your way?
Yes, I would.
If I was lost?
If you were lost, you had no idea where you were.
Well, hell yeah.
So a man who became lost for 24 hours while hiking on Colorado's highest mountain ignored repeated phone calls from rescue teams because they came from an unknown number. The hiker was reported missing on the 18th of October after failing to return where he was staying. Lake County Search and Rescue, I guess, eventually found him.
Yeah, I would have answered. I stopped doing that now. Well, because number one, I don't know if it's just Apple phones or what, but like if it's like the car warranty people,
it goes to potential spam.
Yeah, it says potential spam.
Yeah,
those I ignore.
I get a lot of them breaking through where it, you know, I get a lot of spam risk, but a lot of where.
Yeah,
like,
but how hard is it just to hang up? That's all I do.
Yeah, but I mean, I've been inundated. There have been a couple of days, like the past couple of weeks, where I get like four or five of those calls a day.
We see them.
I don't answer them. It's just obnoxious.
Well, and being in sales, too, it's like you answer everything that comes through because you don't know if it's going to be a sales call or not.
You get that one call from a number, and it's like, oh, that doesn't look like a spam call. I better answer it. Your arm records show that you're a warranty. Ugh! Do you block the number when you get one of those?
I have before, yeah.
I try and do that. It doesn't seem like it does any good.
You ever make the guy mad or the woman mad that's trying to call you? From car warranty places?
Usually it's an automated message.
I've got a few humans on the phone before.
Really?
Yeah. And they're like, hey, is this Jake Miller? Who's Jake Miller? The owner of Bleep Bleep Car. I'm like, what's that? The car? Well, what's a car?
Yeah, you got way too much time on your hands, bro.
Yeah, man. You just hang up. What are you doing?
I was working at a liquor store and it was like 10:30 at night. I had nothing else to do.
Okay.
Shout out to friend of the show, Lucas Panzeca. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, LP.
Hey,
Widespread Panzeca.
Thank you, Jake. That is the Top 5 at 5, brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive, the Plus Perks checking account, featuring free internet banking, free bill paying, free e-statements, no minimum balance requirement. Find out more at cnbtn.com or call 865-453-9031 for Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. All right, here's what we're going to do. Open lines the rest of the way. You want to jump in, go ahead and take a shot now. 865-546-8200, 546-8200 if you want to jump in on the program this afternoon. Tennessee off week continues. The PFF grades have come out for Tennessee's game against Alabama, and they are about what you would expect. A little bit all over the place. And the offensive line slash linebackers not exactly getting rave reviews, according to the PFF folks.
We didn't really run the ball effectively.
Spraggins, the lowest offensive player, got a 47.1. That's Yikes. Not good.
That is not good at all.
That's not good. Fant had a 53. Warren had a 55.8. I'm talking with Terry on the way out. We need to get those tight ends going again. Neither of them playing very well. And then on the defensive side of the ball, the safeties and linebackers just got absolutely obliterated by the PFF grades. McCullough played 93 snaps, ended up with a grade of 44.8. Flowers played 92 snaps, had a 37.4. Beasley played 81 snaps, 30.6 was his grade. And then Solon Page, I almost hate to say it, man. I'm not trying to pile on. 24 snaps, graded out at 23.1.
That's not good.
Like, I'm pretty sure I could have graded out. I don't know. I think that's the lowest score I've ever seen on one of these. But I mean,
Terry seems to think you'd be apparently a pretty good running quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. But obviously, linebacker has to improve. I wonder if it's a thing. And, you know, we talk about they lead the nation in tackles for loss. And you see so much penetration from the defensive line, which is a good thing, right? We see Butler getting back there and wreaking havoc. We see Byron Young getting back there in the backfield. We see Tyler Barron back there a lot.
Yeah.
But we also see a concerted effort not to get beat over the top. So Flowers and or McCullough are usually playing a pretty deep center field. And, again, no coach here, but just speculating that, like, think about what does that look like in your mind? Lots of penetration, defensive linemen getting upfield, safeties playing way back. Lot of open space in the middle, right?
Right.
That seems to be where a lot of these – I mean, it's not like the quarterback is doing some kind of
– No, he's going
crazy
straight
leg run. He's just running straight up the middle of the field.
Yeah.
I like Terry's idea. Let's go find a chicken. Everybody's got to touch it.
I thought it was a bunny.
You can get either or.
Yeah. Hey, man, you got to try something else. Whatever they're doing right now, not successful.
I mean, we can get a chicken. That's not a problem. I know people.
You know a guy? Or you get a chicken? I think we will walk right across the street to get a chicken. Everybody got a chicken nowadays. Everybody in my neighborhood's got, like, chicken coops and stuff now. It's bizarre.
Really? Well, for, like, eggs and stuff? Or
Yes, Jake, for eggs and stuff. No, for pets.
I mean, I had goats.
For milk?
No, for...
For eating the kudzu?
For eating the entire hillside. That way I didn't have to weed eat it.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah.
I don't know if goats are going to help us stop running quarterbacks on third and long, but...
Oh, if Rufus were still alive, he'd run you over.
Hey, man, you got to do something. Tim Banks, I think, has been very impressive. We had a great interview with Dave Bartu in hour number one. If you're just joining us, go back and check out the podcast. And Dave Bartu was not high on the Tim Banks hires. A lot of people were not before the season. And he said, hey, so far it looks like I was wrong. He's done pretty well. When you look at the defensive efficiency statistics, Tennessee is about where they were last year. And I think most people would recognize that the talent level is not about where it was last year. It's probably a little bit worse. So for a guy that doesn't have a long track record as a defensive coordinator, Tim Banks has come in and made a little bit of a splash here in year one in Knoxville. So I think that's something that he's done well. Nobody's perfect. Josh Heupel's not perfect. He's got to improve in a couple of things. Tim Banks has obviously got to figure out a way to stop running quarterbacks because that's what's just tearing his defenses apart right now. Quick break, 865-546-8200. Open lines if you want to jump in on the drive. Your phone calls coming up. Stay with us. James Franklin having a rough week so far.
Oh.
Loses to Illinois in a wacky 9 overtime game. And now they've got to go to Ohio State. And he's dealing with all these coaching rumors, right? He's changed his agent to Jimmy Sexton. And so everybody's speculating he's trying to get it, you know, this. He sees that he's kind of peaked, plateaued, whatever, at Penn State. Maybe trying to get in play at USC or LSU. And so he's at his press conference today, and he says he's not thinking about any other jobs because his complete focus is on Illinois.
Huh?
People are like, Coach, that's the team you played last week. He's like, oh, yeah, that's that it's – my complete focus is on Ohio State. Because it's tough to play in the big house.
He is not focused at all.
In the big house?
That's what he said.
Big house is Michigan, right?
Yeah.
The horseshoes, Ohio State. He's all kinds
He's not focused at all. I don't know. He's focused on getting the hell out of Happy Valley.
That or he's still just in shell shock from Big Ten Burt beating him.
Well, it's just like that nug that you found on, what was it, the Rutgers message board, saying there is a possible scandal coming out.
Maybe Rutgers nugs is – maybe they're onto something. Maybe a scandal's about to drop.
Rutgers nugs.
Night nugs.
Joke compared to my boys.
Let's get Chris in here. Chris, you're on the Drive Fan Run Radio.
Hey, how's it going, Russ?
Going well.
Hey,
how are you, sir?
Doing?
Good, thanks.
I'm doing good. The only point I really wanted to make, I was thinking about the defense and, you know, kind of looking forward into next year. And I was a senior at OU in 2017, and so I got to watch a lot of that team play. And from what I've seen this year, our defense is already strides better than OU's defense was when they made their two playoff runs. And I think it's really encouraging. Obviously, the Big 12 is not the same animal as the SEC, but I'm definitely happy with what I've seen from Tim Banks so far, and I think he's doing a great job, especially with the card that he was dealt coming in.
It's interesting. You know, Tim Banks comes from that James Franklin coaching tree, kind of. He's up there with at Penn State. And is it Pry, the guy up there? And was Shoup was there too. So, I mean, it's kind of weird how there's some inbreeding going on there, and he's made his way to Tennessee. But, you know, you bring up OU, Chris, and so, you know, having watched those teams, it's not like you have to have a super dominant Alabama, Georgia-style defense. If you're going to play offense that way, you just score in the 50s and, hey, you give up 35 points and still win a football game decisively.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that OU team, there were a lot of games during the year, teams that you wouldn't think would really play with them and get down to the end of the game. And, you know, they'd both be scoring and be a shootout. And it really just came down to if the defense could get one, maybe two stops, and that was deciding the games. So I think, you know, once Josh Heupel gets a couple of years to really, you know, put his plan into action, you know, nobody on our roster has been in his offense for even a year yet. And the improvement we've seen from the abysmal, incoherent coaching staff we had before is incredible.
You got a dog with you, Chris?
I do.
I hear that dog. That dog, he's ready to do something. What kind of dog you got there?
He's a golden retriever. He's been home all day, so letting him run in the yard.
Fantastic dog. Is he you playing fetch with him right now?
I am. It's his favorite.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right, man. Well, awesome observations, man. If we could start playing offense like your Sooners could back in the day, we're gonna have fun around here doing this Tennessee football thing.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's been crazy. This is the first year in my lifetime. I'll turn 23 this year.
Oh,
that I felt like I've seen improvement from week one to week seven.
You were a wee lad the last time Tennessee had a decent football team.
A wee laddie, Russell.
Yeah.
Wee laddie.
I was a few months old when they won the national championship. So.
He was knee-high to a grasshopper. Do you remember the 07 Eastern Division Championship?
No, sir.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Josh Heupel, get this program turned around. Show Chris what Tennessee football is supposed to look like. He's never seen
Thanks
it.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks for calling, man. We appreciate you. Good call from Chris. I like it when people call and they're multitasking. He's playing a little fetch, calling the drive.
Is that dog panting? Didn't sound like bark.
Oh, it was barking.
Was it? Panting.
I thought it was barking.
No, he's panting.
Okay. Jake, you're having a rough hour, my friend. Is that dog barking? That's panting.
Thinking about food, man.
Jake's on a diet. He's watching his girlish figure.
There is nothing girlish about this figure.
Trying to lose weight. He's lost all his jeans, so he's wearing shorts, even though it's getting chilly outside.
Yeah.
I'm wearing shorts.
You're like a short all year round kind of guy, aren't you?
Until it gets like below 30.
Below 30. Have you turned on the heat in your house yet?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I turn it on in the evening. I don't want it dropping below like 68 or something. You know, Like, I don't mind sleeping in the cold, but waking up, you get up like 7, 8 a.m. and like cold floor.
Back in my younger days, we went a whole winter.
No, that's no good.
Me and my roommate stayed without turning on the heat at all. A couple space heaters, but yeah, our electric bill was nothing.
What do you guys get back to Jimmy Frank for a little bit?
Jay Frank.
Yeah, Tennessee goes up there, and Danny White shot his shot with James Franklin last year.
Glad he didn't get him.
Who knows how serious he was? What's the play if you're James Franklin? You're 5-2 this year. You just lost to Illinois. It's a bad loss. It just feels like, I mean, he's sneaky, been there for a long time, and this is his eighth year at Penn State.
He's been gone that long?
Yeah.
This is his eighth season at Penn State.
Wow.
He won a conference title in 2016.
But what has he done since?
He had 11-2 the next year and 11-2 in 2019. They were 4-5 last year, COVID year, whatever. I mean, they're 5-2 this year. They could probably end up having a nice 9-3 type season. It just feels like
he's plateaued.
Unless they get a transcendent quarterback or something like that, they're probably not going to pass up Ohio State. And heck, they're going to have their hands full against Michigan.
They have their hands full of Michigan State.
What's the play there? If you're going to get out, it would seem like this is probably a pretty good time, and perhaps that's his thinking as well, as he's had a highly publicized agent change this week.
Yeah, but if you're wanting to get the LSU-USC job, you got to finish this season strong. You know, you lose three out of your last four.
I mean, you go up somewhere where you're going to get a big buyout just in case you're washed up, you just don't know it yet. That way, at least you get paid on the way out if you're James Franklin.
I think he's a hell of a coach, and I don't know, the job at Penn State has been okay. He's won a conference title there, which is probably their first since Joe Pa way back in the day. And I mean, hell, what he did at Vanderbilt was more impressive. Off-field concerns notwithstanding, I mean, he's a pretty darn good coach, and you don't see coaches who are doing well at big Power 5 jobs, and I think we all still consider Penn State a big Power 5 job. You don't see those guys leave very much. If you're LSU or USC, who are you going to get realistically from another big Power 5 job to come and take those jobs? I don't know that you're going to get anybody much better than James Franklin. So you either go after him or a coach of his ilk, or you go the up-and-comer route. And you try and find the next big thing. Maybe it's Billy Napier. Maybe you go holler at Jamie Chadwell.
We've been burned on that road so many times. Jamie Chadwell wouldn't go to USC.
What about LSU?
All right, you gotta talk. He might go to LSU. That guy's not going to the West Coast. Ever.
I have a hard time seeing Campbell or Anderson County, Campbell. Jamie in USC.
No,
Southern California. I mean, that's got a little Beverly Hillbillies thing happening.
Who?
Right there.
Mullet man?
Jamie Chadwell.
Yeah.
Russ, I've been to California one time, and I will never.
Felt like a fish out of water?
Yes.
Not the look Jake just gave me. Yes.
When I smoked and dipped. Here, when I went to pick up
my looked dipping. like you had a third eyeball in the middle of your forehead.
Yeah, when I went up and I asked for a pack of American Spirit oranges and a can of Copenhagen mint, they told me it was going to be $27. I was like, give me a pack of L&M's and the cheapest can of dip you got.
It doesn't matter. It's the taxes out there.
Jake was like, get me out of here.
I hated life. I'll never go back to that state.
You're an idiot.
865-546-820. That was rude. I don't know why we have to resort to
that. I don't know what that was for.
I don't even know. Let's get John in here next. Nope.
John,
no,
drop. John. We've got Brad and LaFollette, though.
Brad.
My man.
You're on the drive. Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, it's going well. Thanks.
Hey, you were talking about James Franklin possibly up for the LSU job. Wasn't wasn't he the head coach at Vanderbilt when all those rape allegations came out?
They weren't allegations. There were
several guys in prison for it as we
for
speak.
For life, basically.
And isn't LSU facing like some Title IX stuff? I mean, is that a very smart move to hire a coach and you've already got Title IX issues?
Was it Was it smart for Penn State to hire him on the heels of a massive rape scandal?
I thought he was already hired by Penn State before all that stuff came out.
No.
Am I wrong?
No, that stuff. It might not have been adjudicated by the time he was
hired.
But it
had already.
But it was working its way through the legal system at the time.
Yeah, they brought Bill O'Brien in to clean that mess up. Or not clean the mess up, but just to be the face of the program.
Right. That just seemed kind of a sketchy hire.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. And, I mean, to Bear's point, like, I don't know if he has another loss or two this season, are they going to want to hire him after he goes 8-4?
I mean, who knows? I mean, obviously the guy, he doesn't even know who's playing this weekend, so his head may not even be in it.
Well, I mean, he might be thinking about this other stuff. He might be thinking about his escape route.
Yeah. And wasn't he the one that came out and said that his assistant coaches all have to have hot wives?
Yes.
And yes. He's kind of I don't know. I've never been a James Franklin. James Franklin.
I mean,
he's
a known dullard. No doubt about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Idiot.
All right, guys. Chop on, Russ.
It's time, Brad. Braves in six.
All right. We'll see you, boys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I will be hate watching. As I always do, any team that you root for besides Tennessee.
Such a weird thing to do, but you do you, man.
All right.
Quick break. The drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up next. It's Fan Run Radio. Rick Barnes says Santiago Vescovi may be, quote, the most improved player on the team. Observation from Tennessee Basketball Media Day.
I'd hope so.
I mean, he stayed in pretty good shape his whole time here.
Yeah, but he didn't play very good last year.
No, he did not play very well at all.
I'll be interested to see. I was reading a long article, I believe it was from utsports.com, where Mike Schwartz was going through the whole roster, just player by player, and he was raving about Vescovi, basically saying that he's become a vocal leader, and it's kind of him, Josiah, and Folky are just kind of like on a different level of basketball IQ than the rest of the team, which is not to say that the rest of the team is not good in that regard by any stretch of the imagination, but just says like they've got like some sort of telepathic connection out there.
What do you have to say about Tomba?
Man, I didn't get that far. I got distracted.
You not get down to like Tomba and Zig Ziglar.
Zig Ziglar?
Zakai Ziglar.
Oh.
I mean, you got 14 guys on this roster. There are going to be some guys. I mean, maybe they play Tomba, but if I were a betting man, I would say redshirt year probably for him in the future.
Oh, yeah. He's supposed to be a senior in high school this year.
Yeah, I mean, if we get to the point where we need him, I'm saying there's probably been an injury, which with the news today that Folky has a broken thumb on his shooting hand.
Might see Tomba.
Might see Tomba. Our Barnes likes him.
Andre Tomba.
I can't wait to see BJ get there, throw an alley-oop to Tomba.
Russell?
It's exciting, man. Deep, deep squad this year for Rick Barnes, the Basketball Vols. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me hotline as we cruise along with you here on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Let's get a call from T-Carp. Good afternoon, T-Carp.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
Good. Well, I've got a lot to unpack. I haven't got a chance to talk to you, and I've been kind of holding everything in. I told myself that I wouldn't get worked up or upset. I had no expectations for Alabama. And then they go and start pulling that crap, Russ. And then people on Twitter are upset that we lost. And I kind of want to be like, what did you expect? They're like, you know, they're starting to say, oh, you know, Heupel can't do it and all that. I'm like, what do you mean? We were in there slugging around for about two quarters. I don't understand. And I'm as negaval as they come, and people will say, oh, you're just cheaping it up and you're being a moral victory guy. I'm sorry, until you're starting to recruit on the level of Alabama for 5 years, I don't know. I guess I will be a moral victory against Alabama guy. Is that wrong of me to think like that?
No, it's a shame that the game got away from him the way it did, you know? Like, if Bama had scored one less touchdown and we had been able to tack on one more, and it's 45-31 instead of 52-24. Like, I think we're having a little bit different conversation, because when you lose a game by 28 points, man, I mean, there's not much you can say. We could sit here and talk about,
there's not a whole lot of sugarcoating you can do to it.
Yeah, but. On the same hand, it's not claiming a moral victory to say the team performed better than most of us expected them to.
Absolutely, yeah. I thank you. The guys didn't quit. They didn't give up. They struck back as the best they could. I'm sorry. I think this team has done so far along in this year more than I've asked them to do, and they. You know, if everybody wants to get upset and say T-Carp's being a moral victory guy, like I said, or a sheep or woolly or whatever, I don't care. I like what Heupel's getting out of the team. I really do. Now does that mean he's the second coming of whoever? No, but I think he's doing a pretty good job in his first year of coaching. I think we can say that. Guys, what do you think about Marshawn Lynch dropping the F-bomb last night on Monday Night Football? We all knew that was going to happen, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we knew the possibility was there, sure. I mean, Marshawn is kind of a
– I'm surprised they don't have some sort of a delay for that.
Especially after Eli did his deal. They got poor Peyton on here with a bunch of foul-mouthed hooligans.
It's ESPN, man.
Exactly.
I would assume that everything they everything they broadcast has some sort of delay on it.
Like it has to be, because that's kind of my thing. Is like if I'm sitting there with my wife, I'm like, Marshawn Lynch is about to drop the F-bomb, and there it comes, it's it's going to happen, Oh, man. But when he did it, I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that happened. And, of course, Peyton didn't react to it immediately. And, of course, they have to apologize. Oh, I thought it was hilarious. I just wanted to get – like, FCC takes money from them, right? Is that why it's such a big deal for you guys?
I don't know how that works at that level of broadcasting. I mean, it's different from obviously a local radio show, right?
Yeah, but it's also it's a Disney property, so.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, is somebody in Peyton's ear being like, you got to apologize for
that? Oh, hell yeah. The way Manning's not wording that way.
He's giving the disappointed dad speech.
Well, I mean, they're all wearing the IFB. It's the clear earpiece or whatever. Like, they're all wearing one.
They're getting a producer in the ear immediately after that.
Well, I mean, Peyton and Eli are the guests, aren't
they? Yeah, but they dropped them. They dropped it immediately. Like, as soon as he said it, it took 10, 20 seconds, and they went to break and dropped the interview.
Well, yeah, it was the end of the quarter is how it worked out. I was watching it.
They got lucky. Yeah. They got lucky.
Well, I mean, he dropped a couple S bombs too.
Yeah, nobody caught him.
I didn't catch it, but the F bomb was pretty. It was there. So I
don't know. I'm not that upset about it. It's damn 10 o'clock at night on a cable channel. And it's
the kids. Kiddo should be in bed by 10 o'clock, right? Yeah, there.
You got to know if you're gonna let your kids stay up to watch Marshawn Lynch, Peyton Manning, and Eli Manning talk about a football game. They might hear some bad words. Just call me crazy.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. Guys, is there other than that? This bye week couldn't have come at a better time for Tennessee. We really need to get some guys healthy. Are we looking okay in recruiting, or is that going to be kind of Heupel's maybe the thorn in his side? Is the recruiting? What do you think, Russell? And I'll hop off here.
I think they're looking okay in recruiting. That's probably a good way to describe it. And I mean, when you say a thorn in his side, like, I mean, it depends on what you mean by that. If it's a thorn in the program's side because they're not getting enough, you know, 4- and 5-star prospects to turn it around quickly, I don't know that I necessarily blame that on Jeremy Pruitt. If you had been able to hire James Franklin, would he be recruiting at a higher notch? Probably, because he's a more well-known coach and he's recruited this area before and been in this league before. He's been in this state in this league before. But I still think that he and anybody else you would have talked about hiring would struggle with the narrative out there that Tennessee's fighting against these with the 13 other vultures in this league who are telling all these prospects that Tennessee's going to have a 3-year bowl ban and massive scholarship reductions, and you're not going to be a part of a good team. You're going to be a part of a team that's going to be below 500 and not going to bowl games. It's really hard to combat.
Yeah.
And that's what they're going up against right now. But if you look at the commitment list, I mean, they've got some decent players. You know, Taven Jackson is a consensus 4-star recruit. He's a nice, really nice quarterback prospect. Probably the nicest quarterback prospect he's had since he was at Oklahoma, or maybe Drew Locke. You got the Addison Nichols kid, who is a blue chip type guy on the offensive line. And then you've got a bunch of like 3-star guys.
Yeah, I mean, you got Cam Miller, who was a 4-star until he committed, and then he became a 3-star.
Yep.
Yeah, Chaz Nimrod.
Yeah, I mean, I like a lot of these guys, and you look all over the play. Any NFL draft is going to be a lot of 3-star guys playing, and all you have to do is tune in any NFL game. Doesn't mean that these aren't bad players. But over time, yeah, you want to be recruiting the better players. Now, I think where you can kind of cancel some of that negative recruiting that they're dealing with because of the Pruitt stuff out is through the transfer portal. The transfer portal is going to be a godsend. And you see all the guys from the portal that are making an impact this year on Tennessee's team. I feel like it should be even better next year. Now, I know they're not going to be able to sign 11 guys like they did.
Yeah, but we'll be able to.
Now that you have something on film and people have seen, particularly on offense, the way Heupel wants to play, you know, we lose Velus Jones and Peyton off this team. If you're a wide receiver in the transfer portal and you want to go somewhere where you can play right away and get a lot of balls thrown your way,
coming here,
you're looking at Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a right tackle and you want to play in an offense that's going to put a lot of points on the board, you're looking at Tennessee. If you're a running back, if you're a tight end, like, this is a very attractive place, I would imagine, right now.
Basically anything but a quarterback right now. But we're pretty well stacked there.
I don't even know about that. I mean, Hooker's got 1 year left. I mean, Milton's got two, but he hasn't looked incredible this year. Quarterback's just kind of an opposition because quarterbacks come in, those guys always think they can beat out whoever. I mean, if they don't, then I don't want them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's
just the quarterback mentality.
Yeah. I almost think you're going to have to find a quarterback in the portal because you can't go in, assuming that Milton leaves, which is not necessarily a safe assumption, but I doubt he wants to sit on the bench again behind
Hooker.
Yeah,
but he's going to have to – he's a little bit different because he'll have to sit out a year if he hits the portal again.
True.
How does that work? Because he could be classified as a grad transfer because he graduated from Michigan.
You might have to find some place that's got a grad program that Tennessee doesn't offer.
He can also, yeah, he can do that. He can also just transfer down if he wants to play. But as you know, you have to be at least thinking that he could leave.
Well, then Harrison Bailey's probably
Harrison Bailey. Yeah, there are a lot of rumors that Harrison Bailey could be going in the portal like soon. So you can't come into next year with just Hooker and Taven Jackson.
No,
no,
not in the SEC.
So they're going to have to go find somebody, and I would imagine they would explore that through the portal. But in recruiting is
do you take a look at Spencer Rattler?
I think you take a look at everybody, man. The Dixon kid from Clemson, I think you look at pretty much everybody that's out there. I'm sure they're doing that right now. All right, 865-546-8200. One more segment of The Drive coming up. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200. Back to wrap things up right after this. Tennessee basketball media day over there. Rick Barnes talking about the football program, says it's exciting what's going on. No question, Josh Heupel, what he's done is phenomenal. You look at the way we've improved as a team. I love the fact that being around Josh, he's a confident guy that has focus in what he's doing. And if we fire him for cause in an NCAA violation and he tries to talk trash about me, I will rip him.
He didn't say that.
Yeah, I just added that last part myself.
No.
Yeah, Rick Barnes. Not a big Jeremy Pruitt fan these days.
I wouldn't be either.
Which, yeah, I mean, he who is it? Actually, I did see a nugget. Somebody sent this to me, and I'm not sure where it came from. I think maybe SI.com.
Okay.
Of Pruitt got some praise. I'm going to pull this up for you.
From who?
From Joe Judge of the Giants. You know, they had a big win. They beat the crap out of the Panthers Sunday.
Okay.
And they've been struggling. And so they went, they did the let's go back to the drawing board type thing, you know, back to fundamentals, all that stuff, all that coach speak. And they go back and look at some things and redid some of their practice stuff, the way they went about it. Jeremy Pruitt is whatever he is, quality control, something like that. He threw out the idea of working in more walkthroughs, an idea he took from a particularly injury-marred portion of his tenure at Tennessee. So, Pruitt, hey, guys, I think we need to do a few more walkthroughs. And then Joe Judge is like, that's great, Jeremy. I love that idea. Run with that. More walkthroughs.
Let's do it.
Beat the Panthers 25-3 or whatever it was, and everything's fixed in New York. Joe Judge built the statue. Hang the banner.
Be a little forward thinking.
He's a big forward thinker. Big germ. Yeah, how about that? Jeremy Pruitt's name surfaces. Giants started 1-5. Big germ. Told the coach, we need more walkthroughs.
Got him at 2-5.
They're 2-5.
What do you think about Mike Tomlin getting asked about the USC job?
Never say never, but never.
Is that what he said? Never?
Never say never, but never.
Yeah.
What? He said never, but say never, but never?
Never say never, but never.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't know.
I can't imagine asking Mike, has he ever coached in college? Has he ever recruited a player?
Let's find out.
I don't think so.
Why would you go after somebody that's
for the same reason that people went after Bill Cowher? Remember that?
Yeah.
Bill Cowher, wasn't he?
Hell, we tried to delude ourselves into thinking he'd come here at some point during
one
of the searches.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
It's just
same reason Arizona State went out and got Herm Edwards.
Throw a bunch of money at a big name. Herm Edwards is actually doing pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Aside from an NCAA investigation.
So he was a college coach from 95 to 2000.
Anymore, right?
Where at?
VMI, Memphis, Arkansas State, and Cincinnati.
When was he at Memphis? Tennessee would have played him.
96. He was GA.
He was a GA on that 96?
On the 96 team?
Yeah.
Mike freaking Tomlin? That was the year they beat us, right?
Yeah, the phantom kick return.
It's an outrage.
You ever brought that up with Terry? You just
no. It just hit me that he was on that team. Should we bring that up?
No.
Why?
I just certain okay. things I don't think we ought to bring up with Terry.
I'm bringing it up.
You ever asked him about his fumbles?
What fumbles?
SEC championship game, didn't he?
I don't know. You ask him about that.
I'm not asking Terry, about his muffin fumbles. Punts.
I'll do it for an order of Craven Wings.
Vol Rumor Mill says, this is embarrassing for Jake. Maybe it's because I'm older, but Gallagher was all time.
Houston said that?
Yeah.
So I barely remember Gallagher. Terry Fair doesn't remember him at all.
Which I find shocking because Terry's a little bit older than me. He's like between you and me.
Yeah. Like almost dead off exactly between me and you.
I just remember that special.
Terry's told me some stuff that's like really weird that I'm like, there's another show that he hasn't watched that just stunned me.
What?
The Wire. But I guess when that came out, he was probably still playing and probably wasn't watching a whole lot of serialized American television. That's up there with The Sopranos as far as.
I've still never watched that last season. It's on my bucket list.
Of The Wire?
Yeah. Next time I'm really sick or something and I just spend a couple days at home.
It's not as good as the earlier ones.
Bang through that last season of The Wire. Finish that bad boy up.
What's your favorite season?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen it. Like, I haven't watched it multiple times.
You need to go back. You need to go back and watch it from the beginning. That's what you need to do. And then watch the last season. How committed are you?
To watching The Wire?
Yeah.
Oh, not committed at all.
No. Did you hear the news about Sopranos?
I hate to disappoint you, but this is a half-assed commitment at best.
Did you hear the news about Sopranos?
Because I don't plan on getting very sick for a long, long time, knock on wood. I take excellent care of myself, model of health.
A little allergy prone.
What did I hear about the Sopranos?
Instead of another prequel movie, they're talking about a prequel television series, which would probably be a lot better.
I come up with new ideas, man.
I'm lost.
With new ideas. I'm not excited about the Game of Thrones prequel. I'm not excited about that. I'm not excited about a Wonder Years reboot. We
that
need
Wonder
fresh
Years
ideas.
Reboot was good. I've
I'll
been
take your word
it.
For it. I don't care, man. I want fresh
I've been watching
ideas.
It.
Why King of the Hill reboot is what I'm waiting on.
No.
It's happening.
Are you not listening
You're
to what
idiot.
I'm saying?
Again.
We need new ideas in this because it's a problem. It's remaking things.
Bring back one of the
Music,
greatest
movies.
Shows of all time.
Were you the one who told me you really enjoyed the original Dune movie?
No.
Oh.
You're the Dune freak.
Oh, yeah, and they just announced they are doing part two. Got green lit. Whew. The spice must flow, my friend.
Nobody can come up with new ideas anymore, man.
That's what I'm saying. We've lost our creativity in this country. A creative spark. Every time somebody does create something, everybody just wants to tear it down and throw arrows at it. Some guy builds a rocket. It takes Captain Kirk to space. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, you could have spent that money. It's like, he went to space, man. You took a 90-year-old man to space. Can we just like stand in awe of that being awesome for a second? I'm sorry. I'm getting on a soapbox. Time to go. I'm out of here.
We got
Thank
baseball
you.
In 2 hours.
Oh.
Hate watching tonight, buddy.
Oh. Did you just double chop?
Double chop. Double fist in the chop. We'll do it again tomorrow, 3 to 6, right here on Fan Run Radio.